1 Corinthians chapter 4. Bible says in verse 1, said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit this evening. Lord, you know what each and every one of us stands in need of. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you just ever minister to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us this evening. Lord, help us to take an evaluation of ourselves, where we are this evening spiritually, Lord, as your children, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us just to draw closer by being here this evening, just to be around one another, just to sing these old hymns, hear the testimonies, Lord, and just look into the Word of God for just a little bit. Lord, have your way. If there's one under the sound of our voice that's lost, that don't know you as their Savior, God, I pray this might be the night. And help us all just to draw closer to you this evening by being here. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit, Lord, being my helper this evening, about let a man so account. Let a man so account. If there's ever been a time, I think, that we need to take an evaluation of ourselves where we are spiritually, I believe it's today. As we look around, we see all kinds of things going on. We see people that are depressed. We see people that are messed up mentally. And most of all, we see a lot of people that are spiritually messed up. And we find a lot of carnality in churches across the land today. And the Apostle Paul, in writing here to the Corinthian church, it was a very carnal church, and he was dealing with several different issues here. And we looked last week at the thought on spiritual maturity there. In verse 1, he said, and our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And so we find here, as the Apostle Paul wrote here to the church at Corinth, the Holy Spirit was dealing with the sinful and the carnal practices there in the church. One such practice was their divisiveness over the spiritual leaders, rather than appreciating and benefiting from the contribution of Paul or Apollos or Peter. These believers were gathered around one of the leaders and not appreciating the others whom God had placed in their ministry. And we know that's always been a problem. We've always had special preachers that we like. Some appeal to us more than others. But still, the way they were all gathered around one. They was making a big to-do over one and not the other. Some were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas. And there were some of them that was so holy, they said, well, we're not of none of these, we're of Christ. And so we find that they were very carnal. And so here Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4, he said, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And then Paul begins chapter 4 with an attempt here to set the record straight about himself and the other leaders who were in their midst. He said, let a man so account of us. Or let us get this back into its right perspective. He said, let us have a time of reckoning. Let us take an account of what a spiritual leader is and what a godly Christian should be. And then from time to time, though, we need to put our own analysis aside and get back to the Bible and tell God, I want to take an account according to your book. I want to see what you have to say about being a godly Christian. Paul says, put aside your petty preferences and those things that are dividing you and get a hold of what God says is real spiritual leadership. God's telling us in this passage to take an account of what it means to be a godly Christian. Man's analysis has never met the need in our local churches, and it certainly doesn't do it today. God tells us what is right and wrong and where we need to go in our lives. Paul makes an analysis here of his own life and he lays it out for us. And I believe there's some things here that we could benefit from as we look at Paul as he looks at his life, where he's at, what's going on in around him. And if there's ever been a time, I believe, that we need to take an analysis of ourselves today. As we look, we might get to thinking we're a little bit more spiritual than we are, and we need to find out what God says about a godly Christian, about a godly minister, about a godly servant of God in this day and hour that we're living in. So we see, first of all, though, we see, notice here, Paul's commission. He says he was commissioned to be a servant. He said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That word that Paul uses here for servant is a Greek word. It means which describes a subordinate, a servant functioning as a free man. He doesn't use the more common New Testament word for a servant, which is doulos, which is designated a common slave. And so we see here Paul's commission here, what God called him to be, and what God had in store for him, and what his purpose was in this life. He was commissioned to be a servant. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hey, that ought to be the desire of each and every one of us, as it was the Apostle Paul, that we could be a servant to God, that we could be a servant in this world, that we could make a difference as we go through this walk of life. I believe that that's what the Apostle Paul wanted in his life. He wanted to be that servant that would be pleasing to God, and that servant that could be a benefit to those believers, that he could carry out the word and the commission that God had for him. So we see he was commissioned to be a servant. Then we see he was commissioned to be a steward. The 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 again said, let a man so account of us as to the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That word steward means to manage the affairs of another. And we see here Paul said that he was a steward of the mysteries of God. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and our Bible says, and without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And so we find that Paul was a steward of all this and more, as he was commissioned to be the servant of God. Now, that word minister is one who serves under the direction of another, one who ministers the things of the owner. And that word steward is one who manages the affairs of the owner. And basically, a steward in a household was a servant, but he was also more than that. He was master of the servant. He had other servants that was under him. He handled all the minor things of the household, even far as keeping the family fed and different things. And Paul said that's what he was. He was a steward. He was one that managed the affairs of the other. And he'd been given a great responsibility as far as being a steward of the mysteries of God. When I was going to Bible studying in Bible college, we had a little book that was called The Mysteries of God, and we had to memorize all those mysteries and do a study on those things. And there's several mysteries. There's actually was 17 mysteries there, and we'll not go through all them, but I do want to name them to you this evening and let you think about these things. But there's mystery number one was the Trinity, the mystery of the Trinity. And you know, it is a mystery how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost could be all be one but be three separate personalities there. And we see mystery number two was the incarnation of Christ. And then we see mystery number three that Paul was referring to some of these was the resurrection of Christ. We see number four was the redemption's plan. Number five was the mystery of the gospel and how God had designed it. The good news that Jesus had died. The mystery of grace, that God shows grace to individuals like you and I that's unworthy of that grace. Yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then there's the mystery of God's will. And I believe there's a will for God for each and every one of us this evening. Hey, there's a will for God for this whole earth. And one of these days it's going to consummate. All that's going to come to pass. We see the mystery number eight would, number eight mystery, the indwelling Christ. And then number nine is Christ, His body. And then number 10 is the church, which is different from Christ's body. The church is made up of the bride of Christ. He's calling out Himself a bride. And one of these days, where the bride of Christ is going to be married to Jesus, and we're going to live with Him forever and ever. And then number 11 is Israel's blindness and salvation. And then number 12, the rapture of the church, which I believe we're right at the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're going to get raptured out. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Then there's the mystery of the Antichrist, which will be coming on the scene soon after the rapture of the church. And then there's the mystery of Rome, the number 15, the mystery of God, number 16, the seven stars and the seven candlesticks, and then the mystery number 17 is the mystery of the kingdom, found over, I believe, in Matthew chapter 13. And you see the mystery of the kingdom is God underlines His program for the world throughout this time that we're in this age of grace. So we see that mysteries in Scripture is a previously hidden truth that's now made known by divine revelation, yet still not fully understood. For example, in the New Testament, grace was a mystery and was a mystery in the Old Testament to the Old Testament prophets. The mystery could be called the meat of the Word of God. As far as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, where he said that he couldn't feed them with meat because they weren't able to bear it. And then we see Christians are stewards of these mysteries of God and are to minister them for Him while we're in this present world. Hey, we're to know and to dispense the Word of God in this world as we go through this walk of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I believe if we study these mysteries and individually and break them down in our Bible study, and we could get a grip on these things that God has given us to be mysteries of, ministers of, I believe that we could get a good grip of the Word of God. We could understand more clearly the Word, and we'd be able to advance and get into the deep things of God, that we could know what's taking place as we look at this world. We see everything that's shaping up around us. I mean, surely, hey, the coming of Jesus is soon. Surely this thing is winding up as we look at the prophecies all throughout the Word of God. And we can see the things as it unfolds in God's plan and what God has designed in the plan of God for this age in which we're living in. So we see Paul said he was commissioned to be a steward of the mysteries of God. And then we see Paul was a steward of all these and even more. Hey, we too this evening have the same commission. We're not being sent into this world to preach psychology and sociology and all these different things. Hey, but we're here for a purpose. We're here to dispense the Word of God and to try to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we win them, we're to try to disciple those individuals get them to a place of maturity as we was looking at last week. We're living in a world today of immature Christians. Not much godliness. Not many people puts much stock in being what God wants us to be in this day and hour that we're living in. But we see that we have a responsibility. And when Paul called for the elders of Ephesus to come to Miletus over there in Acts chapter 20, he reminded them how he had served them, how he had spent time with them, how he had worked with them. And he told them there in verse 20 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts, and he said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So we see that we have a great responsibility as a church, as individuals. Hey, that we teach one another, that we teach those that we come into contact with. Hey, those that we win to the Lord and those that get saved as babes. Hey, we're ministers. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, or basically the Word of God this evening. If there's ever been a time that we need to study and we need to know our Bibles, I believe it's in this day and hour that we're living in, when we look around and we see so many different doctrines and so many heretics today. I mean, we had one come in here a couple of Sundays. He brought in his little pamphlets, and he was wanting to get a foot in the door, and he wanted to find someone that he could teach his false doctrines to and try to make an impact on someone and make disciples. Hey, we need to know our Bible. We need to be able to train our young people and that they'll know what they're facing. Hey, we need to teach them the fact that the devil is after them today, and that he's like a roaring lion, and he's walking about, and he's seeking them in these weak moments of their life. They get vulnerable. Maybe they've been to church all their life, but yet they get vulnerable because they don't know the Word of God, because they've not been taught the Word of God. And then when they get into situations, they mess their lives up. And if there's ever been a time that you and I need to be good stewards of the Word of God and teach the Word of God, it's in this day and hour that we're living in. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 gives us the requirements of a steward. The Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, now we might, all of us are not on the same level far as intellectually. We're not, and far as our maturity, we're not on the same level. But I promise you that there's something that we all have in common that we can be, and we can be found faithful. Hey, we can be found faithful in the things that we know. And I've said this a lot of times. Brother Samuel Allen used to say, "It ain't the things that in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's them things that I do understand that bothers me." And I know there's a lot of things that bothers me about how a church is to be and how a church is to be productive, how a church is to minister, how that we're to be good stewards of the Word of God, how we're to be faithful as a steward in this walk of life. We can be faithful in our attendance. We can be faithful in our witnessing. We can be faithful in everything that we do, because that's a minor thing in our life, I believe, but it's a major thing that we should be. I believe everyone should be found faithful, just as Paul said here. Moreover, he said it ain't a choice, but it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. They said Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And how true that is. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. I've always said this, I'd rather be on the giving end than the receiving end. And what a blessing it is to be a good steward of God and to try to put forth every effort that we can to be what Paul is talking. So we see Paul's commission here, but then not only that, but we see Paul's concern. There in verse 3, he said, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." Paul wasn't looking for man's approval. You know, it shouldn't be all about getting man's approval as we go through this walk of life. We ought to want to do the best that we can, live the best life that we can, and be the best Christian that we can. Hey, but a lot of times our motive is wrong. We want the approval of those that are around us. And that wasn't what Paul wanted. That wasn't what he was concerned with. He wasn't concerned with man's approval. He wasn't concerned with his self-approval. You know, a lot of times we want to think that we are self-approved of ourselves and that we're doing pretty good. And we start looking at ourselves and stacking ourselves up against somebody, we might think we're doing pretty good. But Paul said that wasn't what he wanted. He said there in verse 4, he said, "For I know nothing of myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." So we see Paul's concern wasn't about man's approval. He didn't care what they pretty much thought about him, long as he was right with God and long as he was doing what God wanted him to. He wasn't concerned about his self-approval, whether he was doing good. You know, some days you might think you're doing pretty good. Hey, but really, and what it all boils down to is not man's approval or self-approval. Hey, but it was God's approval that the Apostle Paul wanted. There in verse 4-5 again, he said, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God." So we see Paul's concern. He was concerned about God's approval. He said, "One of these days we're going to be judged. Our works are going to be pulled up. What we've been doing, how we were doing it, the motive that we had behind what we was doing. Hey, God is going to judge us." And that's a pretty sobering thought when we think about where the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Hey, we're going to give account of our stewardship one of these days. How we handle the things that God had entrusted to us. The life that He has allowed us to live and to be a witness for Him. How we've handled the Word of God and how we've treated others that we come into contact with. And so we see Paul was looking for man's approval. He said, "I can care less what you think about me or what anybody else thinks about me. Hey, but the main thing that I'm concerned about is God's approval." Hey, that ought to be each and every one of our desire this evening. And our concern is God approving of the work that I'm doing? Is God approving of the life that I'm living? Is He approving of the example that I'm setting before man as I go through this walk of life? But then we see not only Paul's commission and Paul's concern, but then thirdly this evening, and lastly we see Paul's commitment. Verse 6 said, "In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." So these party and these preacher things that was going on and their preferences here, Paul says that, you know, he said it don't matter. He said, well, you know, we ought to benefit from everyone that we listen to. If they're preaching the truth, if they're standing for what's right, he said he wanted to be committed not to glorify men, not to have personal preferences of individuals, hey, but he wanted to glorify God in his life. Hey, that ought to be our desire this evening, is to glorify God. No matter what nobody else thinks, no matter who others are following, I mean, we ought to follow God. We ought to trust Him and glorify Him in everything that we do. And we see that Paul's commitment was to glorify God. He wanted to glorify God in suffering. He said there in verse 9 of chapter 4, he said, "For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men." So we see that Paul wanted to glorify God in his suffering, and there was no individual probably that's ever lived on planet Earth that suffered any more than Apostle Paul. You go over to Corinthians there, and he tells about the shipwrecks he was in, the perils, and you know the times he was beaten, and once he was stoned and left outside Lystra for dead. And then it gets down to the end of Paul's life, and he was still suffering. He was in the Mamertine prison there, and he was waiting to have his head chopped off there, and he was still wanting to glorify God in what he done, everything that he done. He said one place said to live is Christ and to die is gain. He wanted to glorify God in his death. And I believe the Apostle Paul glorified God in his own life in there. But we see what a lot of Christians and churches want is in verse 8. But there's more to it than that. He said, now you're full, now you're rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. So we see a lot of churches, they want the big crowds, they want the big meetings, they want the big preachers come. Hey, they want to be the ones that's reigning in this world. And Paul said, he was sort of being sarcastic. He said, I would to God that you are rich. He said, that you were full. He said, then we could reign with you. But we see that Paul was, he was committed to giving of himself. He was committed in the giving of himself to soul winning. Paul, if you look and read the epistles of Paul, you'll find out that he had a real burden for lost people. He had a real burden for the churches that he had started, and he was committed to giving himself and soul winning. He said there in verse 15 of chapter 4, he said, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I believe that Paul was, he was able to talk to these people because he was the one that had fathered them. He had one that had brought the gospel to them. He's the one that had planted that church there at Corinth. And I believe that God has put us here in this life that we're in. He's put us in the midst of millions of people and thousands of people around Flower Branch and Gainesville, Georgia, and the surrounding counties. And He's put us here, and He wants us to keep people out of hell. I believe we've got a great responsibility as God's people, as a church here at Open Door Baptist Church, that we get out and win people to Jesus, those that we come into contact with, our family that's lost in this day and hour that we're living in. The most important thing is not them having plenty and having making it through this pandemic, but the most important thing is their soul. And if we don't get them saved, if things don't happen and change, hey, this thing's going to end up pretty soon and they're going to die and go to hell. Hey, those that are around us, our friends, our family, and everyone, our neighbors up and down our roads, there are people that's dying and going to hell all around us. Hey, there's people up and down Hog Mountain Road that passes this church every Sunday morning and Sunday night. Hey, they see the cars out here. They see the lights that's burning on a Sunday evening. Hey, it ought to be our concern. It ought to be our burden to reach as many people up and down Capitola Farms and Hog Mountain Road and the surrounding streets that come, the neighborhoods around us that we can in this day and hour that we're living in. Hey, we ought to have a church where people are good stewards of the Word of God. Hey, where we could know enough about the Bible. I believe every one of us ought to have enough Scripture memorized that if we run up on somebody, God placed them in our path. I believe we ought to have enough Scripture memorized that we could lead that individual to Jesus, tell them how to get saved, and tell them what God does for them and how He does His job completely, that they're completely saved, that they'll never lose their salvation, and point men and women, boys and girls to Jesus in this day and hour that we're living in. I believe we're close to the end. I believe time is short, and if there's ever been a time that we need to get about God's business, hey, we need to be more concerned about our loved ones and our friends and our family, those that we work with, hey, then we are the pleasures of this world. But it's so sad today that we get so engulfed in all these other things, hey, that we are more concerned about pleasing ourselves. The Apostle Paul wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in His life. I believe that we too this evening need to take an account. Paul said, you want to size up Apollos and Peter? You want to size me up? He said, let me tell you how to take an itemized account. He said, first, I'm commissioned to be a faithful steward.
judge me by that criteria. He says, second, I'm concerned not with your approval, but with God's approval. He said, thirdly, I'm committed to being faithful as a soul winner and to bring glory to God. I wonder this evening, would we, as God's people here at Open Door Baptist Church, ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts this evening, right now, and so that we can take an account of our life. What are we doing with our life? Are we expending our lives for the souls of men and women? Are we expending our lives that we might reach the lost and dying world around Open Door Baptist Church here in Flower Branch, Georgia? I wonder, is our heart open to what God would have us to do this evening? Or are we just going in our own way? And I wonder this evening why we don't ask God, how am I doing with my commission? Am I being faithful in getting out the Word of God? Hey, do I get more concerned about what someone else thinks than about what you think about me? And the Lord, how am I doing with my commitment to bringing others to Christ? I wonder if we'd let the Holy Spirit do an inventory this evening and let Him come in and do an audit of our heart. Then what should not be there that we'd put it on the altar, and what should be there we'd put it back in our hearts for the glory of God? I believe if there's ever been a time and an opportunity, we've got a great opportunity, I believe, in the day and hour that we're living. And I know it's dark times, and I know, hey, there's troubles on every hand, but if there's ever been a time that men, we hear of these that's committing suicide, there's something in this world, people are depressed, people are looking for something, and they're looking for someone that'll bring them a word of hope in this dark world that we're living in. And I'm glad we've got the greatest message that this world needs this evening. It's the message of the gospel of the grace of God tonight. Hey, that we could reach out to a lost and dying world, and that we could make a difference as we go through this life. That was Paul's desire, I believe, was in his concern, was not to glorify men, but to glorify God. In this day and hour that we're living in, we're looking for acceptance of men. We're looking for acceptance of individuals. But hey, in reality, our concern ought not be with man so much as it should. Well, I believe we ought to want to have a good testimony with man. Hey, but that shouldn't be the... We shouldn't be seeking the praise of men, but we should be seeking to glorify God in everything that we do. That's what this church ought to be about, is glorifying God, not man. Not having a big crowd. I believe I'd like to have a big crowd. I'd like to see a lot of individuals in these seats here this evening, but it's not what it's all about. What it's all about is glorifying God and winning men, women, boys, and girls. And then I believe, hey, that we'll see the seats fill up in this day and hour that we're living in. I tell you what, come on, Miss Rebecca, come up and play a verse of invitation. And I'd like for us all to just really search our heart this evening and see where we are. Could we be counted faithful this evening as good stewards of the things that God has entrusted in our lives? In these days that we're living in, that ought to be our sole desire, just to be pleasing to God and to try to make a difference in this world. Let's all stand while she plays. If you need to come to this altar this evening, the altar's open. Let's take inventory of our life and see what's in our heart and what God would have us to do this evening. You may be here tonight and lost. I don't know your heart this evening. If you're lost, it'd be a good night to just get down here in this altar and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe watching by the way of the webcast. We don't know who's out there. We never know, but you know, you don't know that soul that may be nearest eternity this evening. They may be one step away from death and may be watching this broadcast this evening. Now let me beg you tonight, if you know that God is dealing with your heart, the Holy Spirit is wooing you this evening, find you a place. I'm glad that there's a promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved this evening. Won't you check up this evening, child of God? A lost person, won't you trust Jesus tonight for the forgiveness of sins?